Thank you, Andrew.
Did I show you the pictures of the sunrise service? Can we go back to that? This knucklehead forgot to do that at the opening. I just want to share with you, when we met at 6:30 this morning, how pretty and beautiful the setting was. I don't know if we can sneak back to that. Yeah, I'm making them jump all over. Sorry about that. If we can find it, we'll throw it up there. But it was a beautiful setting, and we had some 40 of us just overlooking the lake and just seeing the sunrise in front of us. A beautiful celebration to start the day. So my day started early. Actually, it started around 2:30. I woke up and I go, I can't go back to sleep. You know the feeling, right? You just, boom, what am I going to do? And so I'm here by 4. And so if I fall asleep during my own message, just have grace for me, if you would. You could. Oh, there we go. Look at that. So that's what we got to start the day with, in celebration of the resurrection and the beauty of the day. Justin and Katrina were there. There are MSOE students that come, and they brought some friends with them. And so here's a picture of that group that was here as well. Such a wonderful celebration to start our day. That is the nature of what we celebrate today, this Easter. I have entitled this sermon, Running on Empty. And I don't know, I suppose you might say that by the midday today, I'll be running on empty. And sometimes you're asked, you know, after a lot of challenges, the idiom just kind of has this sense of I'm operating on fumes. I might be struggling or dealing with issues, and I'm just trying to move forward. And sometimes I feel like I'm running on empty. I don't have all that's necessary to thrive and to move forward. And it made me think that sometimes maybe we too are, when we're running on empty in life, we have this sense of how do we get on to the next day. This is a morning of speaking to the issue of running on empty. The story, as Andrew read to us, begins in the Gospel of Luke. This wonderful story of the women who come, and they're expecting to see a corpse. That's what their expectation is. And how life is, our expectations often lead to what we experience. But in this case, all of a sudden they find out that there's no body there. They were there to prepare it for burial, and yet there is none. And then they were asked by these two dudes, not dressed in black, but apparently dressed in white, shining, bright, probably angels, messengers, the sacred moment, why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here. Don't you remember what he told you? Then they remembered the words, and they returned from the tomb and reported all the things to the 11, right? Now, it's interesting. Men, when are we going to learn? Okay? So all the women come to them and they spoke these words. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense. Come on, guys, we got to wake up here. And they didn't believe the women. We've just got to do better, right? So here we have this challenge of often the news comes to us, we're not prepared for it, we're not listening. This message has to speak life into us, and it challenges us to understand what it means to live into the promises. But when we're running on empty, it's hard. We're just going from one event to the next, and we're challenged with the things that are before us. Can you imagine what the women are going through? But it's interesting to see the difference in the responses. For the women, they were perplexed. They even had fear. But after the experience, it led them to move back and share the news with the disciples. Peter then, of course, runs to see the grave and identifies that the body isn't there. But he just walks home seemingly unchanged. The challenge of Easter is we might come in and be amazed, maybe enjoy beautiful music that we've experienced this morning, but we can walk home unchanged. This story is essentially about how God seeks to create new life in us, to change us. Maybe we're struggling with some things today. We're running on empty. Maybe some of us are just skeptics, and this whole life thing, it just doesn't seem to fit our worldview, and we're challenged by it. I want you to hear, maybe with fresh ears and an open heart today, that this story runs deeper than simply the miracle of a resurrected life. It speaks to the miracle that you and I can experience transformation. It speaks to our ability to hear the message of God that we might live in different ways to make a difference. To run on empty is just a message that we're operating and functioning and lacking some of the necessary resources. If we're lacking that in our faith and our spiritual journey, let's take an opportunity to enter into a spiritual pathway of renewal. How we connect with God and others, how we grow in our understanding of God's word, written and living, and how we serve in ministry and mission to the world. That spiritual pathway can be transformational. Right after this text in Luke's story, he shares the story of the road to Emmaus. It's about two individuals, Cleopas and a friend, maybe his wife, are heading home, some 7-mile walk, after hearing about the potential of his resurrection. But they're walking, their hearts are downcast. They're saying their hearts were heavy. They're running on empty. And as they're journeying, all of a sudden a stranger shows up. They see him come from a distance. They walk up to him, and the stranger goes, "Hey, what's happening?" And they go, "Well, are you the only one around who hasn't heard? Jesus of Nazareth was arrested, handed over, was crucified. Now, we heard rumors of a resurrection from some of the women, but they just didn't hold it as truth in their own hearts." Well, then the stranger says, "Hey, didn't this have to happen according to what Jesus said?" Started to walk through the scriptures with Moses and others, the prophets, to proclaim this is what God's intent is. I know we're looking for resurrection of having a powerful government with a leader who can free us from Roman oppression and guide us back into faithfulness. But somehow, this Messiah is different than that. Instead of what we wanted, we got one we needed. And began to challenge us in understanding what it means to live in faithfulness. So he talks them through that. And so it's kind of like, well, first they connected. And isn't it good to know that the presence of God can be there even when we don't recognize it? And then begin to understand and deepen our relationship, to grow, and then finally to serve in a way that we respond. They were so excited about what happened. Now, the story is, of course, that they came to their house. It was late at night. They invited the stranger to stop and stay with them the night and have a meal. Great hospitality. And as they were preparing the meal, the stranger reached to the middle of the table and grabbed the bread and broke it and gave it to them. And they received the bread, and then a moment says, "This can't be." I don't know what. Their eyes were open that it was actually Jesus who was with them. I don't know, maybe it was the way that he broke the bread. He'd done it that way in the past. Maybe it was when they handed it to him that, what's that scar for? Oh, you know, I don't know. But their eyes were open. They're looking at the bread. And they said, "Can you believe this is a possible thing?" And they look up and Jesus physically isn't there anymore. And they run back to the disciples to share their story. I just imagine as they're running back, they got to the place, they met the stranger, and they're just gasping for air. It's late at night, but they wanted to get back to the disciples and tell them of this resurrected experience. And they're just kind of laughing and say, "When we started this stranger, we had our hearts are downcast, but now there's a fire igniting within us. There's meaning, there's joy. Our expectations were overmet by the truth of a God who meets us in new life." I love the story of how it was in the breaking of the bread, somehow they recognized Jesus. Gives you and I hope, doesn't it? We share communion. It's the breaking of bread. See, crucifixion is when the body, the bread, and the cup, the blood, are separated. They're pulled apart. That's what crucifixions do. But Jesus says, "Remember me in the eating and sharing of this cup." I think it's even more than just remember. I think it's remembering. It's bringing body and blood back together as it's intended to be. And who now must carry on this body presence of Christ but the church? God stuck with you and me to be the body and presence of Christ for the transformation that's possible, to bring hope and new life. And God delights in calling us in to be agents of grace and mercy and of love and forgiveness. It can be such a challenge as we seek to work through our lives. And so often we're working hard and we are feeling at times like we're running on empty. And it just seems like the things we're struggling with, whether it's illness or a failed job or emotional, relational struggles that we have, it's hard to move forward. This message is for you and I this morning. So often we're looking for the what, and we say, well, if I could just get the right job or have the right income or have this or that, and it seems so empty. The reality is, this is a message not of what, it's of who. And not only who of Christ for us, but who of you and me, being agents and continuing the work that Jesus began. See, we might struggle, we might be skeptics, but this story reaches beyond that. It pushes us to understand that God seeks for us not to simply believe, but to have a faith that lives itself in action of love. How is it with your soul today? How might we embrace this truth in new and special ways? I think of the Gospel of John. It has a different angle on the story. It talks about Mary coming to the grave, and it was still dark out. And I can't help but thinking, that's such strong imagery for us. Sometimes we come and it's really dark. It's hard to see. And for some of us, it also creates fear. And some of you kids think it's kind of scary being in the dark. We adults think it's scary too. I mean, let's face it. Monster Inc. had a word for us, right? Right? The screams. That's where all the energy was. But what happened by the end? They moved from screaming fear to laughter as being, Sully said, 10 times stronger than screaming. The joy, the promise. What is our expectation today? What do we hope to gain? I think this is a message of a call. Like the spiritual journey of Cleopas and his partner or wife or whoever it might have been, we're heading home, we're transformed by connecting and then growing and understanding and then responding with serve and care and proclaiming. It transformed them. And that's the promise for you and I today. Do you feel like you're running on empty? Here's the possibility. Let's run on an empty tomb. For all that the tomb holds for us and holds us down, we had a beautiful Good Friday service where Pastor Andrew and the youth leaders led us through this incredible reflection. And they shared with us some of the characters of Holy Week. Some of those who are carrying shame or fear or guilt or grief or anger or judgment or being forsaken. And they were transformed like you and I can be. That when we know all of those things, shame through forsakenness, are emptied because of what Christ is doing and can do in our lives, that we can be resurrected with acceptance and courage and hope and joy and peace and forgiveness and new life. That's the promise of this day. May we 10 times more overcome fear with the joy of celebration of hope. That we can run because the tomb is empty. Hebrews 12:1 says, so then, with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that traps us. I can run because the tomb is empty, and I can find new life and energy and purpose in that. Isaiah says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly with wings of the eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be tired. The empty tomb of shame and brokenness gives light to the promise. Because ultimately, this is a story that the empty tomb is not a symbol of absence, but of presence. And that we're called to be that presence for others. How might we live? Because of the truth of this day. The truth of this day is that we can run because the tomb is empty. And we might find renewal of life as we pursue a spiritual journey, connecting and growing and serving and becoming, remembering Christ through the body of Christ, the church. Because friends, the world is so hungry for a message. We can go after belief systems and religious structures, but the reality is that Jesus came that we might have life, true life, and to the fullest. And God's calling us to be agents of that in the world in need. Let us pray. God of grace and mercy, God who takes tombs and transforms them into hope and renewal. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate today. Thank you for the joy, the music, and opportunity to be with family and friends and neighbors and celebrate that the tomb is empty. And for those of us who our lives are just struggling for purpose and energy and we're just running on empty, may the emptiness of the tomb revive us and connect us with you that we can grow and serve in meaningful ways. We're so grateful for the hope that we share in you this day. In Christ we pray. Amen.